It's our privilege this morning to have Dr. Ricky Dunsford and his wife Judy with us. Today they're no strangers to this ministry. We go back a long time, Brother Ricky. He started out as a youth pastor up in Century. God called him into a full-time ministry with Rock of Ages. Been there now for 31 years? 33rd year. So I cut you short a few. But I remember the first time I met him, it was over at that other building. He came and spoke to our youth group and then spoke in chapel that week. And what a blessing he was. He was like an atomic bomb with a string on it because his wife was holding the other end trying to control him. But we had a good time of fellowship then and continued through the years. So, Brother Ricky, would you come and share with us what God's laid on your heart?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Brother Todd's no meme since I had a full set of hair. And I knew him when his hair wasn't white. So, that's been a while, hasn't it? Well, praise the Lord.
Turn to the book of Acts and chapter number 20.
Acts chapter 20.
And I want to bring a thought this morning. Hope the Lord will help me. I want to be, one thing that I thank the Lord for is, Judy and I have only had two pastors. We were saved and we joined Faith Bible Baptist Church there in Century, Florida. Brother Stokes was a pastor. We sat under him for several years. Brother Robert Barrows, now the pastor. Brother Robert was one of the teenagers in my youth department. He worked with Rock of Ages, worked under me there at the Rock of Ages for 7 years. And then about 15 years ago, 14 and a half, he took the church as Brother Stokes was battling cancer and some other things. And so we've been privileged to sit under two good men and be members of the same church our entire Christian life. And through that, Brother Stokes grounded our church and our people in this matter of giving, especially to missions. And it's been a privilege. And now, after 40 something years of preaching and after Judy and I being able to and being taught how to give, I can truly say there are great benefits in giving, tremendous benefits. I taught that throughout the week last year. My pastor said, can you do something again this year? And I said, sure I can. And then I'm always asked this, well, do you have a title? Well, I can make up one. I'm not a good title guy, but I try. And I said, why don't we say this year the blessings of giving? Acts chapter 20, verse 33, begin there. The Apostle Paul says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. I wish we could all say that at all times. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that are with me. I have shown you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed or blessed to give than to receive. This has always amazed me. Put ourselves in today's world. Judy grew up in a household. Her dad owned several businesses, and it's about all she knew growing up was living in a home where her dad was self-employed and had the various businesses going on. I, after high school, went on to school and would start a little heating and air company, and we would have a little trucking company, and we were business people. Now, for the business world, it doesn't make sense to say it's more blessed to give than receive, because your whole mindset is receive, to make a profit, to gain. And we live in a society today that and secular humanism has taught over the years, it's all about me. It's for me. And so to think, though, that this is probably one, besides John 3:16, one of the most well-known scriptures to even the lost world. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, as I thought about this, to think that the giver is happier than the getter? Really? But it's a fact in Christian life, isn't it? It really is. I thought on this, how in the world does Christian people not understand this, nor the lost world understand this? It is really a blessing to give. It really is a blessing to do for others. It truly, really is a blessing. Now, I'm interested in it's more blessed or blessed. Now, I did look up at the etymology of the word blessed or blessed. And you can say blessed with a T on the end of it, or you can say blessed with the ED on the end of it. And according to the English etymology dictionary, they're both okay. So, a fella asked me down in Tampa this past week when I was talking, he said, "Where's that accent from?" I said, "Boston, can't you tell?" And then he goes, "Really?" And I thought, he ain't from around here. Now, it's more blessed, if I can say it that way, to give than to receive. I'm interested, Brother Todd, because Psalms 1, and I'll talk about that possibly in the message this morning, but Psalms 1 said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight." Now watch for just a moment. I'm interested in this word blessed. In the Old Testament, you'll find the word blessed or blessed in the Hebrew in two different words. One is the word barak. Barak is the word bless the Lord. It is the word for adornment. It is the word for worship. It is bless the Lord, O my soul. Then there is the word for blessed found in Psalms 1, which is the Hebrew word eshur. And it literally is an interjection in our English. Otherwise, it is a word that displays the ultimate thought of joy and peace and happiness. But being an interjection, it literally in the Hebrew is put there with the thought, when you can't explain it, just go, "Wow. Whoa." Or in my terminology, glory. Otherwise, it's so overwhelmingly joyful, you can't explain it. Let me put it this way for those of you that have grandchildren. I remember when little Zoe was born, I was pretty tough. And I take that little girl, yeah, okay, she's, you know, and I had this, and I had to eat crow over this. I'm telling everybody, it can't be any different than me having my little daughter. I have one daughter. Her name's Tabitha. She's 36. I call her Puddin'. And I'd say, all these grandparents telling me, it's different. I said, it can't be. I said, when I saw my little blue-eyed Tabitha, my little Puddin', I mean, even today, she's 36, and if she goes, "Daddy," I'll give her the car. But then come along comes Zoe, and I'm doing pretty good for about 3 weeks, Brother Bill. And we're in Atmore, and we go out and eat, and Zoe's kind of being a little fidgety. She's only a few weeks old, and I pick her up like this, and I give Judy the credit card. I said, "Pay for the meal for everybody." And I walk down the sidewalk, and when I look up at them little brown eyes, looked at me, and all I could do was go, "Glory. Wow. Woo!" That's West Virginia for blessed. Now watch. When it's so unexplainable that you really can't explain why it's more blessed to give, you just know it feels good. And medically speaking, it really does feel good. Giving and helping others is a medical fact. The Emory University has said that helping others, and I jotted this down for my memory's sake, turns on the reward or the pleasure part of your brain. When you're helping others and doing for others and giving to others, something in your brain goes, Ungawa, hallelujah, glory. You just feel good. You see, the Emory University says it increases self-esteem. You feel good about yourself. It feels good to give. It feels good to do for others. Now, I thought I like this one. It said giving has been shown in the medical studies that it helps to decrease depression. So when you get down and out, find someone to give to. And if you don't have someone to give to, I have a prayer card with my address on it. I'll help you right out. Now watch. Doesn't our Bible teach us to prefer others, to esteem others more than our own self, to care more about others? I think one of the greatest damages in this world we live in is it's all about me and how can I hurt you and this coveting world where everybody wants your stuff. It just absolutely amazes me. Let me give you some things that I hope I can do in 10 minutes on these this week. I will stop when time tells me to. But I jotted down a few things that I believe will help us to understand a little bit this more blessed to give than receive. Now, maybe you're better than I am, but I like receiving. I like having stuff. I like being pampered. Nobody's going to amen right there. Okay, wives, us husbands like being pampered. Amen? Okay. Now, let's look at a couple of things. I really ought to teach. Number one, I put down giving is blessed by obeying our Lord. Giving is blessed. See, in Psalm 1, if it states the conditions for being blessed, now watch this, blessed is the man. And that little substantive verb is means the state of existence. Blessed is, or the state of existence, or happiness and joy and peace that we ought to live in, that we ought to exist in. So if it's more blessed to give than receive, or it creates an atmosphere, it creates a lifestyle, it creates a joy and pleasure in us, should not we give? And it is a commandment, as all God's commandments are given to help enhance our lives, obeying His commandments increase our happiness, don't they? Because we have a Spirit of God living in us now. And I understand, for those of you that, which most of you in here are smarter than me, I understand that the Apostle Paul said, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, that we don't find this phrase anywhere in the Gospels. But it made it clear in the book of John that the world couldn't contain all the books of all the works that he did and all the things he said. So no doubt in my mind, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, somewhere, though not recorded in the Gospels, the Lord said, he definitely taught it, didn't he? I mean, he got up one time, he looked at all of them when they wanted to know who was the greatest. He girded himself about with a towel and he began to wash their feet. I know that's not necessarily the giving part, but he was all about others. You're going to be the greatest, then you'll be the great. Then you'll serve others. It is more blessed. There's just something about helping others. There's just something that makes you feel good. Not pride, but to know that you helped someone else. And also that you were obedient. Because we are commanded to love our neighbor. We're commanded to remember the poor. We're commanded to help others. There's a man by the name of Romica. Romica was a Romanian prisoner. He was gypsy and a thief, and him and his wife together would constantly steal and break in and things like that, and Romica landed in prison. I guess it's been now over 20 years ago. And through our work over there, one of our Romanian men, we were preaching and was able to lead Romica to Christ. Well, God changed Romica's life. When Romica got out, he was a contractor. He was remodeled and things like that. That was his background. And we hired him. That's when we had our office, to do a complete remodel in our office in Romania. And a fellow by the name, one of my dear friends and missionaries, Brother Michael Adams, with our ministry, and I were there in Romania. And it was dark, and we were coming back from the Tulcea area where we had been in prison that evening. And it was like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. We passed by the office and the lights were on. And we looked at Brother Mircea and said, "Mircea, why are the lights on?" He said, "That's Romica and his wife." And he said he works all day, but then he wants to give back to us. And he comes in every night after they've worked all day to help remodel our office. And he said, Mircea said, "More than likely, they haven't eaten all day." Well, Brother Michael said, "Oh, we can't have that." So we went to a place and got the store to open. And we got a rotisserie chicken, and we got potatoes, and we got bread. And we went back to the office and we set up a little table. And we set that down, and Romica and his wife began to weep. And said, "Nobody has ever done something like this for us." And I can't explain it, but it's the greatest feeling, the greatest joy. I didn't instigate it, Brother Michael did. Boy, just being a part of that, realizing that we were obedient to the Spirit of God, even though it was 1 o'clock in the morning. We were obedient. See, giving is blessed by being obedient to the Lord. Secondly, giving is blessed by submission to Christ's Lordship. I'll stick to my notes so I can get this in time. Every act of obedience recognizes that there is a Lord over us who is entitled to honor and respect. I can't explain why some areas of obedience are easier for some while difficult for others. I don't understand that. I only know that we all wrestle with the sin and weights that so easily beset us. Now watch. If the love of money is a root of all evil, it stands to reason the devil would use the lust and covetousness of money and what it can buy to become lords over us if we're not careful. Listen to your Bible. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snares, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, would drown men in the destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." I think sometimes we forget that. I don't think there's anything wrong with prosperity. I don't. God blessed many people in the Bible. There's nothing wrong with that. I tell folks all the time, I don't have a bit of problem with you having a nice brand new bass boat. And God would be pleased if you take a missionary bass fishing. You say, "Where's that in the Bible?" That's the Ricky Dunsford version. The RDV. No. I'm not saying that Ecclesiastes is very clear about a man that labors can enjoy the work of his labor. Very clear about that. But it shouldn't be what we are about. What pleases Him? Our talents, our gifts, His blessings should be yielded to His Lordship. He should control our lives. Always taking caution that other things don't become Lord of our lives, but He is the Lord of our lives. And Lord, You've been good to me. Now how can I be good to others? What would please You? Yielding myself to Him is so important. Thirdly, giving is blessed by exhibiting our Lord's heart. Listen to James. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. You know, the first fruits were simply saying, Lord, before I cut anything out for me, I want to say thank You. I just want to say thank You, Lord, for being so good to me. I just want to say thank You for loving me. I just want to say thank You, Lord, for my health and for all that You've done for me. I just want to say thank You. And if we be His first fruit, should not we offer all that we are up to Him? The larger our hearts, and this is a quote of another, and the wider our hands, the larger the picture we paint of God's character. If God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, how much more if we depict, Judy and I, probably the best friend we have in the world, just absolutely the best friend, would be to she and I considered more than a friend, though not blood-wise, more of a brother than any of my brothers or her brothers. Almost more of a family member than we could ever ask for. One of the greatest guys you ever met. I haven't cut my grass, Brother Bill, in years. He cuts my grass. I gave him my weed eater because he wore his out. He is constantly, when Judy and I leave home, he goes by. Now, I don't appreciate this, but he goes by and feeds her cats. I figured if he wouldn't, they'd leave. But he has keys to our home. He has the keys to all we have. And he has got to be the greatest giving person I've ever met. He is literally this kind of guy. If you were broke down on the interstate and he pulled up behind you and you said, I've got to get somewhere, he would give you his keys to take his vehicle and he'd sit there with yours and get it fixed for you. Probably pay to have it fixed and then give it back to you. He's just that kind of guy. And I've learned that it is so blessed to exhibit the Lord's heart. And He is known in our community as probably one of the greatest Christians I know. And he magnifies and manifests the Lord through His giving and servant's heart. Nothing is more blessed than when we know we have displayed God's goodness through our giving. I thought of this as I typed this yesterday. Giving is the greatest emblem of our thankfulness to the Lord. It shows how thankful we are. Fourthly, and I got about 5 minutes. Okay. Giving is blessed through sharing the Lord's salvation. And at the heart of the gospel is sacrificial self-giving. God so loved the world. That's why when the Apostle Paul wanted to encourage the Corinthians to give more, he pointed them to the person and work of Christ. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that through His poverty we might become rich. You see, you abound in faith and love. But see that you abound in this grace also, the Apostle Paul said. Now, I didn't say this, another said it. When we give sacrificially, painfully for the benefit of others, we are faintly on a small scale preaching the gospel message. We're saying to a world, this is what our Lord has done for us and done for all. Giving is blessed through the sharing the Lord's salvation. Fifthly, giving is blessed through trust in the Lord's provision. The biggest detriment to giving is fear. Fear that if I give too much away, I won't have enough for this or that. When we give sacrificially above and beyond what is comfortable and easy, we're expressing our faith and trust in God to provide for us and our families. This is not an argument for folly, but for faith. And many Christians have discovered the joy of casting their crumbs of bread upon the waters and multiplying the loaves. It is just such a joy to watch God provide. Now, Judy and I both, and she's not feeling well today. She's constantly battling from the accident she was in a couple years. She has some good days, a lot of bad days. And in recent years, I've had a few health problems. I seem to be doing real good now. But, you know, now, 30 seconds from now, we'll see. But pretty good now. But we've been going through some struggles the past few years and with our health and just age in itself. And we begin to question more our abilities than God's abilities. Now, did you hear what I said? I'm questioning more my ability. I can't run like I ran 20 years ago. I can't function as well as I did 20 years ago. But what is going on then? I have a little problem with pride in me, right? Because whatever made me think I was doing it anyway. It's always been him. And our age and our situation, she and I will sit down sometime and say, what are we going to do if? Nod your heads up and down. I'm not the only heathen in the house. Right? We're human, right? What happens if I can't travel anymore? That's our income. We have no other income. But wait a minute. Then we have to remind ourselves, boy, he's been good to us. He's always been there, and I try, Brother Howard, to grab a hold of the verse. I have been young, but now I am old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor thy seed begging bread. He will not suffer the righteous famine. He's a good God today. And if he take care of a 30-year-old Ricky Dunsford, he'll take care of a 63-year-old Ricky Dunsford. And can I tell you what? If he lets me hang around a little longer, I'm moving slower every day, but that'll be all right. He'll take care of me. I may not can ride a stallion, but I can ride a mule. Sister Carolyn, when I can't ride a mule, just set me on the roadside and I'll shout for the other ones. Go, boy, sick them. He's sure been a good God. And giving is blessed through trusting in his provisions. He'll never forsake us or leave us. Number six, and I got 2 minutes. I'm going to read them to you real fast. Giving is blessed by the Lord's pleasure because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. It delights him to see God's people gladly open their hearts and hands to provide for the needs. You know, every time we truly have a heart to help and give, we are reflecting what his son did for you and I, and we look more like Jesus. Because he gave of himself, and when we give, It pleases the Lord when we're cheerful in our giving. I'll not elaborate there. But isn't it wonderful to know that when we help others and we give, that it makes God happy? It's cheerful. Giving is blessed by the involvement in the Lord's kingdom. I put these down with an exclamation mark. I put, my giving keeps preachers in the pulpit, missionaries on the field, the gospel being published and proclaimed. Invest in lives of people from every nation. Our giving is changing lives and homes and relationships. Most of all, we are investing in the eternal destiny of souls when we give. It's blessed to be involved in His work. And I've always held to this. I believe I was much a missionary when I sat in the pew giving, and we still give. But just as much sitting there, I was as much a missionary, that one I partnered with on the foreign field, that one, and Judy and I support missionaries around the globe, and we're partnered with them, and I'm just as involved in Paraguay, I'm just as involved in Peru, I'm just as involved in South Korea, I'm just as involved in Australia, though I'm not there. I'm involved in the Lord's kingdom. I'm helping to get the gospel there. And it's just something blessed to know that God would allow me to be a part of such a great work. Number 8 is their giving is blessed through the faithful stewardship to the Lord. It not only promotes God's work through us, but also God's work in us. Number 9, because I'm out of time, giving is blessed by its testimony of the Lord's power. Although we are not to let our left hand know what our right hand does, it's pretty obvious that Christians give a lot to their churches and Christian charities. Even secular observers notice that churches are givers. You see, I think now is a tremendous time to say to the world, there is a God in heaven, and we have a Lord that supplies for us. What a tremendous time. From Lafayette all the way to Orange, Texas, second storm has hit those people. I was preaching in Louisiana right after Laura hit, and one preacher said, and the men gathered, and they sent several thousand dollars that way. But I sat in their meeting, and one man said, a pastor called and said, we don't need your money. We need your people and some chainsaws. We can't get anyone to clear the roads. We can't get anyone. And I thought, boy, I wish I could just load up. I almost canceled all my meetings, borrowed a chainsaw, rode over there, loaned a chainsaw to somebody, and I'd carry them water. Let me close. Giving is blessed with praise and worship to the Lord. Giving displays thankfulness for our bounties and praise for His blessings and worship for His benevolence. Psalms 116, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. And the Apostle Paul said, I just beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Just is blessed more to give than to receive. Can we not all say, by living through hurricanes, though we wish nothing on others, I'd a lot rather be loading up and going over and cutting trees and helping families than them helping me? I'd rather be on the giving end than the receiving end. It'd be a whole lot more blessed, wouldn't it? But there's just something that changes who we are and what we are and how we think about others when we're settled with this area of giving. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. And I know, Lord, sitting in this group are some folks that sacrificially give, that Lord, love you. And Lord, I thank you that they would listen to me for a while, and hopefully that we can teach others how blessed it is to give. Oh, that our children and grandchildren and friends would see through our lives how that we just love doing for others. Now, Lord, today, would you bless the morning service as we prepare for that time, and we'll give you the honor and the glory and praise for all that you do, and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you again this morning.